Welcome, listeners, to another insightful episode of the Appalled IPPM podcast. I'm your host, Nondo Majandana, and today we have an exciting discussion with one of the Appalled attendees. This is the African Program on Rethinking Development Economics, or Appalled. The platform has been instrumental in reshaping economic thinking in Africa. This year brought together some of the brightest minds in the fields of economics from across the continent. Joining us today is an esteemed participant of Appalled. Her name is Mwande Phiri. Mwande, welcome.
Hi, Nondo. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad to have a woman on board. Could you please give our listeners a brief overview of what the experience of Appalled has been like for you and the significance of events such as these in the realm of development economics?
Mm-hmm. I mean, first off, I have to start by saying I can only describe Appalled in one way, by saying it's a very eclectic program. And by that I mean, I think what blew us away as participants is just how diverse the various programs were sort of, you know, structured. It wasn't just, you know, sitting in lectures, but you would have an evening lecture, you would have an exercise, you would have so many different activities just to sort of, you know, bring to mind, or rather put into perspective the different issues that we were looking at. So, you know, to sum it up in terms of my experience, it's been fantastic. It's been nothing short of, you know, exciting. There's been a lot of learning, relearning. It's been about unlearning as well. It's been about, you know, challenging the sort of orthodox mainstream views on how we are supposed to develop as a continent. And for me, this has been really fantastic because, I mean, ultimately, to get to the Africa we need to be, you know, thinking more creatively about how we can develop. And Appalled literally, you know, puts you in that sort of, in fact, no, let me not say puts you in a box. It takes you outside of the box, right? That box that you're sort of, you know, told this is how you develop. Yeah. And it sort of allows you to think about how you can carve your own path, you know, to transform your economies and, you know, develop. And that has been really nothing short of fantastic. So, yeah, that's been my overall experience. And then, sorry, before I end on this, meeting and coming together with a wide range of, you know, amazing participants, 17 countries, it's been fantastic learning about their experiences, learning about their countries as well. Because one of the things that Appalled emphasized is, much as we are one continent, we're also still diverse. So we have a lot of commonalities, but we also have a lot of differences. And so getting this sort of wide participation really illuminated the fact that much as we're similar, we're also different, just working towards a common goal. Yeah,
I love that. That collaboration came up quite a lot in how we should be fostering better ways to collaborate within the region, within some of our developing banks, and just creating pathways for economic, you know, growth on the continent. What are some of the key takeaways? Mm-hmm. If you could give me key takeaways for you in mm-hmm. this two-week period, what were those?
Okay, so one of the things that I think many of us alluded to is this aspect of possibilism, right? So very often you do see across the continent countries trying to industrialize, trying to, you know, transform their economies, and they don't get it right, at least not all the time. And it feels like if you don't get it right, then, you know, you need to give up. So sort of like a pessimistic view. And Appalled really emphasized this need to sort of, you know, take a positive view on development. Think creatively, learn from mistakes, right? Do it over. Understand your context very well, because that really will shape your development path. And some of the mistakes really, and this was another key takeaway, it's not enough to just copy and paste, mm-hmm. you know, because Southeast Asia did it and mm-hmm. they did it this way, then let's do it the same way and hope that, you know, that will give us the same results. But that's not going to happen all the time. And so key takeaways for me, possibilism, anything is possible. You just need to really think creatively and start looking at, you know, what you are best placed to do and how you can do it very well. Understanding your context, where you're coming from. I mean, one of the professors spoke about this, your political system, you know, your history, where you currently are. And that, you know, putting all that together and sort of, you know, carving out the path into development is really, really critical. If you would allow me to throw in a third, I would say being able to undertake very nuanced analysis, right? The evidence. Sometimes, you know, you can look at a particular issue and think, okay, that's all there is to it. But one of the key takeaways from APORD is how you sort of need to do a deeper dive, get into the issues to understand, because then you sort of start to unravel interesting stories, which might be different from, the first conclusion you made. So I would say, those were takeaways for me, major ones. Maybe lastly, just to say there were some new concepts that were really fascinating, just allowing us to think about industrialization in a different way, to think about agriculture differently, because we've always thought, well, agriculture, we really want to move away, not entirely, but it's never been so much, a path to development. And with APORD, there was a particular lecture, a concept called industrialization of freshness, that just sort of, looked at agriculture or certain key activities in agriculture in a very different way and, showed the potential to actually use those certain activities to develop. So I think that was really fascinating and a key highlight for me.
Yeah, that was also a highlight for me. We went to the berry farm and we got to see the route, the journey of the berry.
Yeah.
And it's not really the blacker the berry, the sweeter the... Yeah. No, it's more the freshness, exactly. As you say. And if you can create, a system or process that can allow the journey to be, and using all the data and technology, it really is like any other manufacturing. And
exactly.
It follows the same principles.
Exactly.
When I looked at how oranges, the citrus farming creates more
value
through the exports alone than, majority of the one that we use on the continent really speaks to that opportunity.
Absolutely.
So I really like that holistic approach that most of the lecturers covered to development, considering the long-term sustainability of how to tackle economic growth on the continent. Do you have a favorite lecturer? Not a favorite lecturer? No, yeah, I'm not going to do this to you, but which would you say was one that stood out the most?
Stood out.
And you feel like it really made you think, it opened up your thought processes, and it made you feel like, this I could practically implement.
Can I throw in two?
Sure.
Because Professor Mushtaq Khan, right, was very outstanding, I would say. Getting into the governance issues. I talked about political systems, so this was under his lecture, right? And he really emphasized, this idea of knowing your history, understanding, the power distribution, understanding sort of options you have, moving from, a normative place where this is the ideal that we would want, but then thinking critically about what's possible, what can we actually implement? Do we have the power to implement it? So I thought that was really, really interesting for me. So I would put him at the top of, the lectures that I thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah. And mostly because, governance really speaks to the type of work I look at too. So hearing his views on that was really interesting. And also the lecture on corruption and how we can tackle it, that was really great. At heart, my research interests are around industrialization, structural transformation. So industrialization of freshness, I have to reiterate this one, was great. And that was delivered by Professor Chris Kramer, right? Chris Kramer. And Shingi as well. So for me, that one was illuminating. Because as I said, we really don't look into the complexity of agriculture. And sometimes when we do, we just think of it, in the context of climate change, in the context of, we just need to, become more productive. But I loved the way he presented, the facts on the fact that sometimes the lines might not be, very clear in the sense of delineating, agriculture from manufacturing. That if you look closely, there's some activities just literally on the border, that are as complex as some, if not even more complex than some manufacturing activities. And so that for me was really exciting and an area of research that I'm thinking I should probably get into.
Love it. So any thoughts on how some of the indigenous solutions can play a role in Africa's economic future with regards to some of the sessions that you heard?
I think this goes back to this idea of you need to sort of understand your history, you need to understand where you currently are, because our history will be so different from what, the West went through, from what Southeast Asia went through. And so that in itself allows us to, look internally and sort of find an indigenous response to development. If you understand your context very well, if you understand where you're coming from, then it sort of gives you, you know, a more homegrown solution to these development challenges. I do think partnerships, you know, Ubuntu is really important for our development that can allow us to carve out more indigenous solutions to development coming together. And APORD is a really great demonstration of that because this is South Africa, right? Being at the forefront of saying, let's put together different, you know, minds from across Africa, bring them together to discuss issues of development. So I do think this idea of working collectively across the continent is really important in terms of being able to come up with the solutions to our development challenges. And then, I mean, I would say being very inclusive, right? And this came out as well in the lectures. You really need to think about your constituents, right? So it's not so much just those with significant power, if I'm going to put it like that, right? But to think about, you know, all the key, you know, citizens within a country, those in rural areas, those in urban areas, understanding their interests. And so once you sort of do that, then you can come up with more tailor-made, you know, solutions that are very inclusive, carry everybody, but also speak to Africa in particular.
Sure, and also harnessing the advantages on the continent.
Yes.
So I'd like to get your thoughts on the gender lecture.
Yeah.
I wasn't in that one, but I heard that, you know, it was quite interesting. Can you share a little bit of your thoughts on that lecture?
No, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that there was no agenda lens. I think that's needed if we think about, you know, composition of our population. And even in trade, small-scale cross-border traders, they tend to be women, actually. So I think Professor Judith did an amazing job sort of highlighting why it's necessary for us to think about women when it comes to trade, thinking about their safety. Something as simple as, you know, having an ablution block might to, you know, some people be seen as, oh, is that really a necessity? But for women who are trading, going to these border posts, right, that allows them to have, you know, facilities they can use. It allows them to also feel a bit safe because they can't just, you know, go out in the public and, you know, relieve themselves as men tend to do. So the gender lens was really important, thinking about how we can lift women, support them, include them in this discussion. She gave us a very detailed perspective on how to even evaluate some companies, thinking about the shareholding, learning more about some of the initiatives that are being done, you know, globally to sort of, you know, pull women along. So one key thing she said is focusing on, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay, focusing on gender is smart economics. And I couldn't agree more. So if you lift women up, right, women tend to carry a lot of people with them. They will spend a lot. They are consumers, right, so on goods that you produce. But they also invest in children. So, I thought the gender and trade lecture was really great.
Great. So what do you think on the lecture on global value chains?
That was another good one, actually. I mean, if you allowed me to pick three top lectures, I'll probably throw Professor Antonio into that one, too. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we think about value chains and, you know, a comparative advantage that what you're good at doing relatively right is what you should focus on. So speaking of my country, Zambia, it would mean we continue exporting raw copper, right, without any value addition. And the fallacy of that approach, and this is something that was highlighted, is it really locks you in these, you know, low value-added activities where you can't raise productivity, raise incomes. And so as a country, you're sort of not developing, you're locked in. And so the lecture was just really challenging this notion of focusing on comparative advantage and thinking about how you can create your competitive advantage. How you can be a bit more strategic as you enter these value chains, not limiting yourself to, you know, what you're known for, which is export of primary commodities. And this cuts across the continent. There are a lot of similarities in the export structure in that sense. So he really brought to the fore the need for us to start looking more critically at what other products can we get into that fit into these value chains of more value. Thinking about how we even connect backward, right? So those backward linkages, if we're tapping into the global value chains, where are we getting those raw materials from? You know, making sure that domestically we also build the capabilities, right, to support our entry into the value chains. So, I found it fascinating. It gave us really great insights, perspectives on how we should be thinking about how participation in these value chains, how they can be better organized, what we need to do to be a bit more competitive as well. I thoroughly enjoyed that lecture.
And let's not forget about the vibrant networking opportunities offered by Apport. So some of these connections made often lead to collaborations that can drive real change. What are you hoping to do with this, with the connections that you've made here?
Oh, I think this cohort, I can't speak, for the rest, right? But we're very excited and we have committed to stay in touch. So there are already some ideas that are being floated, right? Collaborating in terms of research. With one of the participants, we're already talking about potentially doing a paper together. So that already, demonstrates our commitment to staying in touch. But doing a series of working papers, where all of us can sort of input into that, doing webinars. Technology is making it easy these days. So yeah, sharing experiences, sharing events that might be coming. My organization, we have a number of events. And one of the first things I'm going to do is just, share these opportunities with the rest of the participants to make sure that we remain engaged. And I know the other participants will be doing the same. So we're looking forward to being engaged in the activities that TIPS will be running throughout the years. Please be assured that we will be participating very actively and just doing more research to understand our context, to understand how best we can develop Africa. I think all of us have been blown away literally these past 2 weeks, and we have this passion, this fire to sort of, be the change we want to see.
That means
doing more research, more collaborations.
No, I love it. If you are anything to go by, this continent is in safe hands. I have much, much hope that Zambia, at least, the Zambian gent ended up being called president. That's how passionate he is about Zambia.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I love it for you guys. But thank you so much. Do you have any closing remarks you'd like to share with our listeners?
For me, it would just be to say thank you to TIPS. This has been a wonderful opportunity. And I want to encourage everybody to apply next year. If you are in the space of development, economics, or just, research, this course will give you so many insights about development, how other countries have developed, how Africa is performing, how we need to do better. So if you're working in the space of development economics, research, development-related issues, this is one course you have to be a part of. It's just really fantastic. It's phenomenal. You meet a lot of amazing people. It's not all just, reading. I have to throw that in there. There are a lot of exciting activities.
Like the morning run.
The morning run, yes. Thank you for bringing that to mind. So you tend to exercise and you do it collectively, and that's nice. And sometimes some people, lag behind you fall. You fall behind, some go faster indeed.
The Kenyans.
Kenyans are so good. But it also speaks to development, right, in Africa. So some have gone further than others. But we didn't give up. And, the ones who are going faster kept encouraging the rest of us to say, continue coming, So you get that. But also TIPS organized, some activities to go and see,
The caves.
Exactly, the caves, the beginning of humankind. So it's been, as I said, eclectic. So many things, the night lectures, evening lectures, the activities. I didn't expect to play, Jenga, and we did. So, no, we didn't win. We didn't win. But I am encouraging everybody, please apply next year. This is an amazing program, and you will never look at development the same.
Love it. Well, then that wraps up our discussion on the 17th edition of the African Program on Rethinking Development. And we can see the collective commitment towards rethinking development economics in Africa. The insights gained from this event will undoubtedly shape the discourse and actions in the field of policy for years to come. We hope you found this overview quite insightful, and always thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for coming.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.